This is ArtBeat, WMUK's weekly look at creativity and the arts in Southwest Michigan. I'm Zinta A-Stars. She's an off-the-grid farmer in Fenville and a harpist, but somehow also finds time to write. Joan Donaldson has several historical fiction novels and nonfiction books to her name, along with children's picture books. Her newest historical novel, Hearts of Mercy, is about Viney Walker, a spirited young woman in Tennessee during the 1880s.
I lived in Tennessee the summer of 74 and made a very close friend. And about 1985, she took me up to see the Walker Sister Cabin, which is part of the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. And that's when I became fascinated with the Walker Sisters, who defied Roosevelt. He finally had to make a deal with them in order for them to stay on their farm. But even then, I still wonder, why did the sisters take over the farm instead of the brothers? So I've spent quite a few years reading about them and writing about them. So I wanted Viney to meet the Walker sisters because she's a weaver. They were great weavers. But when I started researching, I thought, well, that's just not enough of a story. And then I hit the Whitecaps. Then I got into the whole question of why did this white vigilante group discipline women almost like Sharia law in late 19th century Tennessee? I mean, out of the blue, where did they come from? So then I began to research them, and I realized I had the major conflict. Because Viney comes from Rugby, which is a more progressive utopian settlement, she has changed her and has her own ideas about what women should be allowed to do. And therefore, she sees the situation through her eyes and wants to do something to give all the women the freedom to be able to act, or in this case, to choose if you want to court someone without the Whitecaps beating you. Actually, they were much more brutal than I portrayed in my book. I toned things
really?
Down. Oh, yes. I talked with an expert on the field that had written an article that I managed to come across, and the scenes he describes are just awfully gory and violent. And they actually killed women, too, in the process.
How did anyone ever become a couple back then if you have these kind of people breathing down your neck?
I think you basically didn't court very long, and you probably just were home with your family around you and then became married.
Kind of like arranged marriages, almost.
Yes, almost. Or you just were very, very careful. And that's what, of course, Viney and James are somewhat careful, but not quite careful enough.
So they catch them in a
very intimate
little
situation.
Kiss.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And she gets lashed, and that was typical then.
It was more like taking a baseball bat to somebody.
Wow.
Yeah. And like I said, I did not want to make it as brutal as what I read in the history. So I decided to tone it down for my readers and for my sake, too.
You obviously wrote it some years ago. It takes time to get something published.
Right.
But looking at some of the things going on today with the Me Too movement, for
right.
instance, I wonder if you see any comparisons. Have we really come as far as we like to think we have?
Right. And I think that's a very good question. It's a question that we probably all need to process. Along those lines, one of my readers wrote me and said that she had read the book and loved it. And then the Kavanaugh hearings came, and she went back and read it again because of a certain character in a scene in the book. And she said, you caught the feeling of how she felt when she was listening to Dr. Ford speak. So that meant a lot to me. Of course, I had never planned any of that. That's all providential in my mind.
Right, right.
But it was one of those things you go like, oh, so my book is out now at a time when people are asking these questions. And I think, as anyone knows who studies history, you don't want history to repeat itself. And that was one of my goals here. Like, look, folks, what has happened in the past? We need to avoid that as a culture.
This is ArtBeat on WMUK. I'm Zinta A-Stars.
What do you think motivated these groups to form, the Whitecaps and
the Blue Bills
as well?
Vigilantes.
Yeah.
Well, according to this one historian, his name is Don Wilson, from Tennessee, who studied them for like over 30 years, basically studying the Whitecaps, his feelings are that they came back being victors because most of those men had fought for the Union. We always think everyone in the South fought for the South, but that's not true when you get into the upper regions of the Appalachians. They came back, and they should have still been like on their victory lap, but the South was going through Reconstruction. and there was a huge recession. So all at once, here they are, they're no longer the victors, they're the victims. Mm-hmm. But who do you pick on? And when I went and talked to a person who taught psychology and women's studies, usually you pick on your family. It's an easy victim is to pick on your wife or your women to try to control them.
Yeah.
So if anybody's trying to be uppity, you know, out of her place, at first the people welcome them. It's like, yeah, keep my daughters in line. But then they became terrorists, basically. And at that point, it's like Stalin, you know, the Reign of Terror. People were so afraid of what they might do to fathers and mothers, because then they did start beating them too. Then they just didn't act back until Dr. Henderson organized the Bluebells, who were always a much smaller group of people, but he had the money to finance spies and to go in and to interrogate what was going on. He didn't always get to the scene on time, but they did stop some of the violence.
How did you become a writer? Have you always had a leaning that way?
As soon as I knew how to hold that pencil and could put words together, I started writing stories. Like if I'm visiting schools, I have the book that I wrote when I was in fourth grade in bound. You know, I mean, now they have like young authors and they do that. But I was doing all this all by myself. No one was really encouraging me. I mean, my parents were supportive, but it was like they probably wondered why their child would come home from school and then go to her room and write stories. And that's what I did.
Well, it shows you've got polish in your work. And I'm not the only one to say so. You've gotten some awards recently. Tell us about that.
Well, of course, Unbinding Youth Mountain won the Friends of American Writers Award in 2010, and then we represented the state of Tennessee at the 2010 National Book Festival. And then Hearts of Mercy just won first place in its category in the PenCraft Awards, which the category is considered romantic suspense. So I was very thrilled to find that out.
Yes, congratulations. Are there any more books coming in the series?
When I was writing this book, I was writing at the same time Lizzie's story, because Lizzie needs some resolution. So I would like to do Lizzie's story, and I'm going to start that probably next month. I'm finishing up another manuscript right now that takes place on Beaver Island. I have to finish
that. So Viney will kind of take a back
background
role this time?
Yes, because Lizzie needs a turn to show growth and what she is up to. I would like to write a book that tells Hugh's niece's story, Emily Hughes, because she came to live in Rugby and she was a photographer. There's a chance about that one. And then the other thing that Rugby, Hughes really wanted it to be an integrated community. So there were a few African Americans who lived there. So, I mean, that's pretty amazing in 1880. If I can find the right information, that could be another story.
You write historical fiction, so I have to ask, do we learn from history?
I would like to think we do, but too often we don't, especially if we're not cognizant of the questions we need to keep asking ourselves as a culture and as, just as a person, too.
Yeah.
And I think in this situation in Appalachia, because the culture tends to be very rooted in the area, there are people like Silas Hauser asking all kinds of questions in his novels and, you know, exposing ideas to his culture. But historically, people did not move as much, and especially in where my
book's
taking place.
Yeah.
People stuck into this one location, like place where I lived. I met a man who had never moved, been further than 50 miles from his home. And that was in 1974. There's a deeper sense of culture and family if you are from an area, especially in those mountains of Appalachia.
I'm Zinta A-Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Artbeat, our weekly look at the creative arts. I've been speaking with Joan Donaldson, author of Hearts of Mercy. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation. And join us every Friday at this time for Artbeat. Thanks for listening.